Welcome to the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show, presented by Hugh Hattrick. Drive fast and try not to crash.
Well, hopefully we're coming through well in stereo and it's all, and you can hear us clearly and there's no problems. And I say welcome to all our viewers. I actually didn't realise that there were many viewers on Facebook who had made comments the last time and didn't quite manage to see them. It tends to slow down the stream a little bit. But if you are there, thank you very much for watching, and it's great to have you with us. So we have got some very exciting news. Would you like to tell us?
I was just going to say, are we going to do the exciting news and then drop the tone, or should we start with the bad news? Because there is some bad news. There is bad news.
There is a little bit of bad news.
I'm just wondering, because I was thinking if we bring our viewers and listeners up and end on a high, you know. So Monaco has been cancelled.
Yeah, that's true.
And the Dutch Grand Prix, which I was really looking forward to because of that amazing sweeping bend and all, and sandcastles, that's been postponed, which I reckon means cancelled, but they say postponed. So's Spain, which I don't care about because it's so boring, it's incredible. But, you know, well, we've come out of the EC. Doesn't matter. No, I shouldn't say that. But the point is that Monaco's great, even though it is the procession. It's Monaco, and Monaco's always...
Yeah, it's still special. It's a great build-up to the whole thing,
well,
isn't it?
How they miss those walls?
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, you could go around in a Cinquecento and you'd still nearly hit the wall. They're in a Formula One car. They're doing 160 mile an hour through a dark tunnel. They come out over a bump, and then they go around a corner, and they're racing each other. It's incredible.
No, it's quite a thing. But there is some good news on that, to be fair.
Oh, yes, the good news.
They might start with Azerbaijan, which is normally actually quite a good track, actually, to start with, quite an exciting race. But they said they've brought forward the August break, so that's now not going to happen. And it means that they may potentially run into early next year for the races. So they might try and put some on maybe December, January, depending on where they're going to be. So actually, we could have pretty much almost a continuous race calendar.
They're going to invent winter tyres or something. Like if it's snowing, they're going to have studs.
Imagine it. Silverstone in January. But wouldn't it be great? I mean, it's so boring on January the 1st. You wake up, nothing really is happening. And, you know, imagine if you've got a Grand Prix, it'd be brilliant. You can have a fantastic... Well, you know, so for January the 1st, you can have a great... You know, qualifying could be on the 31st, if it was depending on what day of the week it goes on, and then you could have it on January the 1st. It'd be brilliant. It gives them a reason to stay sober. You know,
which Formula One driver is going to be turning up? Because I don't know which one. I mean, if Verstappen was winning the championship and he needed to win a few more races to make sure he won, he'd turn up.
Oh yeah,
he'd probably be the only one.
I think they would. I think they would. I think Silverstone on January the 1st. Would be a brilliant race. I mean, it could be so cold, you know, it could be like -3 or -4. I mean, a frosty morning, and then they'd have to do some special tyres for that, wouldn't they? To get, you know,
yes,
you'd find that the pace car would be a Land Rover Defender, you know.
Well, they banned four wheel drive years ago, they'd have to bring it back just for that race, you know.
But no, that would be something.
Formula One brought to you by Quattro, you
know. In the background to this as well, we've got one of the biggest esports races that's on tonight, and we're going to keep you updated as to how we're doing, because I'm watching Super GT's stream in the background, and currently he is 43rd out of 45, which is not brilliant, but I'm sure he's trying out. That's Steve Alvarez Brown, Super GT. I thought he qualified higher up than that. He must have had an off. But they've got everybody in it, from people like David Perel, Josh Martin, another chap that we interviewed a few months back. And Chris Hay as well. So it's a real mixture of real drivers and sim drivers. So it's going to be, I'll keep you updated. It's a 60-minute race. They've just about completed 10 minutes of that. And it's looking pretty good. It's being based at Kyalami. Remember there was a Grand Prix at Kyalami in 1992, I think it was, wasn't it? And Mansell won that. It was an epic race because Senna and Mansell had quite a big battle for the first few laps. With that as well. I think they also did it in 91. I'm sure our viewers and listeners can correct us if we're wrong on that. But it was an epic race to watch. There was lots of really good in-car battles from the Senna era at that time because he was trying to keep up with the Williams. So it's a great circuit. And the rumours they might bring South Africa back onto the calendar. It was a good track, mind you. Really good track. So that would be quite interesting.
I've got a bad feeling about South Africa because you had... See, I'm saying that and I've completely forgotten his name. He's from St Asaph, just up the road. Tom Price was killed there. And he was the only Welsh Formula One driver. And he was bloody brilliant. And he got killed by a marshal running across the track.
With
a fire extinguisher. And he hit it at like 180 miles an hour. Hit
him
in the head, killed him outright.
I think I've seen that footage. I think that's been on...
There's a really good documentary on it, I think on the BBC. And Richard, forgotten his name, he used to run the Benetton team after after Flav left, and he's the big boss of...
Oh, Richard... Oh, I know what you mean.
Richard, yes, Richard.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Richards. Is it not?
Richard, Dave Richards.
Dave Richards, yes, yeah.
He's Welsh, you know, and he got a statue of Tom Price put up in the town and all this kind of stuff because he would have been a champion. He was good enough. He was that good.
Aye.
And Everson was blown by, he was a local farmer. You know, you can see the weird parallels with our... You know, Jimmy Clark, because he was a local farmer, unassuming, just a normal guy, just had incredible talent in a car. But without the recognition in the multiple world championships. But it's, South Africa. I don't know. I mean, I'm not being fair, but it's just.
Well, you know, I interviewed David Perrell a few months back, and he is 35th at the moment. And that's his home track because he's from South Africa. So so he'll be a bit they'll be, this is why I've got the sound on mute, because I don't think they'll be very happy with the positions they're in at the moment. Mind you, it was very, very close. It was only about a second in it from this over nearly 50 drivers. I think it's 48 drivers in it. It's a big field. So to actually have only a second covering first to last is pretty good going.
They'd all meet up if there were two spread out, wouldn't they? So that leads us nicely into a bit of news.
Yes.
Does it not?
It does indeed.
I'll let you say it because you're the boss.
We've got Formula One Esports coming. They're going to have a proper race. Yeah, a number of races throughout the year to keep us occupied while we're missing the actual real races. And it's going to involve a number of the current Formula One drivers, along with other drivers as well. Goodness knows where they'll bring them out from. I would have loved to have seen all of them there. You kind of think they're contracted to do these kind of things. It's only, I mean, sit in the house and get on with it. You know,
many are going to be involved. It's the Formula One website simply doesn't say. It just says some of the F1 drivers, as well as some of the regular esports GP drivers, the ones that were in the last year's championship and this year's championship. It's a special series. Each program's going to be about an hour and a half long. The race is going to be 28 laps.
They have the same setups, and they can even use traction control and things like that. So,
They did say that they're going to fiddle with the setups to even out the field a little bit, which I'm not entirely sure I like.
Well, I suppose it means that people then can't change stuff to get an advantage. You know, so it's just going to be about driving.
That's like a one-make series then, or handicapping, like in British touring cars. And I've never liked that. It's a bit artificial. I don't like artificial racing. If they're rubbish, they're rubbish. If they're good, they're good, you know. But, I'd be rubbishing at the back. I'd be doing a Japanese accent and saying, "Hello, I'm TJ Nakano!" and smashing everything. But I'd have my car indestructible. I'd find a way.
Well, they've got reduced damage on it.
Cheat. Yeah, I've seen it.
They've got reduced damage. So
there's actually a video on the website. And
I'll have to watch that.
Of last year's championship, the 2019 championship. They're using the same software as from last year.
Yeah, because F1 2019 that they're using. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Codemasters, I believe it's designed by Codemasters. And it's looking pretty good. So it's going to be at 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, British time. You can get it on the F1 YouTube site, Twitch, the F1 Facebook channels, and F1.com.
Yeah.
So these are where you can see it.
That's pretty good then.
There's a qualifying and then a race, a short qualifying and then a race, and you get to see if Roman Grosjean's in it, whether he smashes into people in that as well.
No, it was quite something. And of course, it's a very famous birthday tomorrow. Do you know whose birthday it would have been? Who would have been 60 tomorrow?
Is it mine?
No. Well, I don't know if it's yours, to be fair. No. But
though I feel 60. No.
And Ayrton Senna. Ayrton Senna was born on the 21st of March, 1960.
Was he?
Yeah, yeah. So it would have been his birthday. He would have been 60 tomorrow had he survived. And how many championships would he have won if he'd carried on, you know?
We don't know, but one thing I know for sure, I'm absolutely confident of, as good as Schumacher was, he would not be a 7-time world champion now if Senna was still alive.
We know that
because Senna would have beaten him and they would have had a terrific fight. In that race where Senna died,
he was talking
about how Schumacher was pressurising him and all this kind of stuff. The battles that we missed between those two guys... just something else. So it's even more tragic in a way. I mean, you can't get more tragic than him losing his life, but the ramifications for everybody else, of course, is that we didn't get to see.
Yeah, because it was just building up to have those battles that were going to happen, weren't they? I mean, they had a few. I remember the comings together in Magny Cours in France. I'm sure they had overtaking as well. It was maybe in Kailami or in Brazil, actually. There were issues of the year before, about 92, 93. And I remember Schumacher saying to Senna, "Why did you overtake me back?" Because he overtook Senna, and then Senna overtook him right back again. He thought, you know, it was a real kind of battle.
Why did you overtake me back?
Because he could, you know, that was the thing. And I think because he was in a slowing car, but obviously Senna's still going to try and overtake you. If he's got any chance at all, he was going to overtake. But it was quite. That was when obviously Schumacher was very young, just in his new career, and that was when he was driving for Benetton and things. But he would have been 60 years old tomorrow if he'd been alive. It would have been quite something. I think he'd have been an incredible ambassador for the sport, because you can imagine when he eventually would have retired. You know, every channel would have wanted him to give interviews and to do commentary and also to go, because the way that he spoke was very, very, you know, you could listen to him for hours. And I think getting his insight into what it was like to be a driver was amazing. And then the current drivers, just Hamilton tries a bit, to be fair, but most of them are not very emotional. You know, there's not much in it when they talk to them. You know, I like Vettel, and I like some of, you know, they're a bit more political, a bit more kind of interesting. And Verstappen especially, because they were actually watching the Senna process. Collision in Japan, and Vettel Verstappen said that Senna did absolutely nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong when you see Senna and Prost come together in Japan at the chicane, and he simply said he would have done exactly the same.
Yeah, no, of course he would. I know he said something else then. But it would have ended in Sherlock. Yeah. I mean, come on, that's like saying Hitler looking at Stalin killing all those Jews and going, you know, I didn't see anything wrong there. It's Verstappen, isn't it? I mean, I'm not saying he's right or wrong. I just, it's hardly surprising that Verstappen's going to say, "I would have done that." Because he does all the time. Martin Brundle raced against Senna in Formula 3, didn't he?
That's right.
Yeah, and he beat him. You know,
nine races apiece, wasn't it?
Even he said that when he went for an overtake, he left you the choice whether or not you were going to come out the corner or not.
Yeah, whether you were going to have an accident with him.
I'm coming in. You either move out of my way, or we're both going to crash. Pick one. So you know, and there was it was at Alton Park, and he ended up having Senna sat on top of him, literally.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
Senna tried to beat him up. I think he punched him or something.
There was all sorts of, yeah.
You know,
I know, and that's what makes it so good, really, isn't it? Because that's the, you know, in terms of all the competitive nature of what it's like. But in terms of this Formula One thing, I think it's good, because the first one for all our listeners and viewers, it's going to be this Sunday at 8 o'clock. That's British time, 8 p.m. And Bahrain. So I think it could be really quite good fun. And, you know, you're going to get at least an hour or so of racing or more.
Yeah, it'd be good to have a look, wouldn't it? You know?
Yeah, unless they all smash into each other. It's going to be quite funny because you think, well, it won't hurt if you have a bit of a bump. And so you can see, you know. And if it's not a championship as such, then it's just about...
They need to have like a red that we need to hear what they're saying. I want to hear what they're saying. I want to hear them shouting and swearing. I don't want any of this.
Maybe that's why
filtering it all out nonsense, you know.
That's why it starts at 8 o'clock. But similarly, NASCAR and the IndyCar, I think they've got an esports series now that's going to start, that's going to carry right the way through the year. As well, so that and it has to happen because there's so many viewers that are desperate to watch it. And actually, I think it'll be quite good fun to watch. I think it'll be quite interesting to see how it all goes.
It's going to be a real boon for them because obviously you've got guys that go to the F1 tracks and people do the sim racing when they're there, and it's been a sort of, I suppose, a slow infiltration of the game into the sport, you know, to be seen and used and enjoyed. Well, this is ideal, isn't it? Because it's kind of like going from singing in pubs to being on the X Factor and winning it, isn't it? They're getting international coverage and everyone knows about them now. It's going to be seen.
It's going to be fun.
So next year, when everything's back to normal again, it's not going to be back to normal because there's going to be a lot of people going to be watching that. Yeah, maybe you'll start getting F1 drivers part-time racing in esports as well, you know, on top of.
It'd be quite funny if they brought back to switching on to in English.
I'm control delete. I want to start the race again. No, reset. Put 10p in.
Now, I was going to say, for all our listeners and viewers, if you want to leave us a comment, we'll give you a shout out, but you have to do the comment either on Podbean or on YouTube, because we're struggling to see the comments on Facebook. And if you remember, you can join our groups. We've got the Car Sim and Race Driver Show on Facebook. And we've got obviously our YouTube channel, which is under Hugh Hattrick. And also we've got Podbean. So if you subscribe to all of them, just let us know. Send us a comment here right on YouTube and we will check it out and we will give you a shout out. So Ant, he's seen quite a few of our shows. He is saying, switch to mode 2 in English with alt control delete. And you can imagine that, certainly, if it goes horribly wrong and they need to reboot the computer, then absolutely, that's what they're going to be doing. So it's going to be fun. But, you know, going on carrying on the simulator route, when I was down at Mercedes-Benz World last week, and I've done a video of that, if for our listeners who haven't
seen it. I have seen it. Yet. Excellent. Very good. And you're quite quick.
For an old fat man.
Baldy fat bloke, you know. You're pretty good, aren't you? And you were three up.
Yeah.
Doing this in the background. Oh, I don't know if he was, but I guess he was. Probably.
He wasn't sick, certainly, but he was scared. But yes, he did. But it was a great car. But I was saying to him right after, because I was so fired up when it all finished, because, you know, it's a really good hour, brilliant value. Anyone who loves racing and who loves driving like that, you get, it's £195. I was very fortunate. I won the...
You won it. I got it free.
£195. But you get a full hour of really good driving. They teach you a huge amount. And the handling track is the best thing. That's the best thing about it.
That's the video.
I really enjoy it. And you've got a lot of laps, and they just keep pushing you and pushing you.
I was just going to ask you a question. How did you get the in-car footage? Was that your camera or is that part of the...
That was there. I had to pay a wee bit extra. And the only annoying thing was it didn't record. Well, it plays back on their stream on the sound, but it won't record the sound on anything else.
So you don't get your sound, you just get the video.
Yeah.
Because I noticed you had all the little dials showing the G-force and the speed and all this kind of stuff as well. And I wondered how you got that on your... camera,
yeah, no, that was already built in, which was really good. But unfortunately, when I got the video recording, it only works on their player. They give you a player on the little USB thing, and I tried to play it on other ones, but it wouldn't. It played the video, but not the sound for some unknown reason. So last week, I was spending hours trying to get the. I was recording, trying to capture the screen, but it would only ever capture maybe 2-3 minutes of sound, and then it would just stop. So I don't know why it would do that. It must have been blipped somewhere. But I couldn't put it together. So that's why I had to talk over the video that I did have, just to do a kind of voiceover.
Happens to the best.
I've seen
if you watch Harry's Garage on YouTube, which I go on about, Harry Metcalf, the founder of Evo magazine.
He's
very good. Well, I've seen quite a few of his now, and he's got some from like 2014, 2015, before he got really good cameras and really good sound equipment. And he's done some biking ones. And one of them does a trip starting at the Mediterranean coast in France and going over the Pyrenees and up and along and over the Pyrenees, but all off-road on these Africa Twins and Dakar winning bikes that he's got. A collection of ex-Dakar winning big trialies, you know, and him and a few mates do it. But he said the sound was so terrible most of the time, he couldn't hear anything, so he didn't make a video. But all he did is what you did in the end, is he just salvaged the bits that were good. Yeah. And the rest of it, he talked over so that you didn't have to hear him when he was, you know. So
I don't know why it just wouldn't record the sound. For whatever reason, I couldn't get the sound to come through on any of my systems. I've got a few different apps and it just wouldn't record it, even on like Screencast and the others. It just wouldn't. You'd get about 2 minutes of sound and then it would stop. But the actual bit that I wanted to show was about 12 minutes long and I just couldn't build it. It wouldn't work even part by part. It just wouldn't come together. But it was a fantastic day out, though. And, you know, the thing is, I've still got it there for my own use. So eventually, if I can get it working, I'll put a video out with that as well. It was a fantastic day. And it was actually easier, I reckon, to drive that car than to do it on the simulator. I kid you not. It was easier in real life than on the game.
You don't have to persuade me. I always find driving a real car easier than the simulator. So that's fine. But well, I mean, the simulators, I've not really driven good ones like the ones you've had to go on.
But even the ones at speed, you know, like, you know, because you're driving that car at speed and he's telling you to go, you know, to follow the line and to go flat out on the that right-hand bend with the back straight, which was a great, great bit. And, you know, you're getting up to decent speed along there. Mm-hmm. And the car, you know, was really, it worked so well. Just, you know, you could really kind of lure it in really easily. And then he would tell you to brake and then trail brake. So that's when you're braking as well as you're kind of coming into the corner. And the car, the nose just stuck in. And then, of course, you've got a better line, so then you're able to accelerate out faster for the next corner. So it's amazing how it all
works.
Excellent
front end on it then. Good.
Yeah, very good front chassis. End. I never felt scared. Even when you could see that it was starting to rain at the start. The wipers were going. Yeah. And I thought, oh, God, this is going to be fun. Because he turns all the traction off as well after a lap or two. He just kind of makes it so you're not a maniac, and then he says, "Right, I'll turn all this off."
There are other cars on the tracks. I suppose he wants to make sure you're not going to.
Yeah, because there's no exit. I didn't take the excess cover, so if you spin off and crash, and it's potentially a lot of
you
drag,
pay for the.
You're going to pay for it.
It's not cheap, it could be Merc, is it?
Thousands of pounds. So I was a little bit weary, but then he drove it, and it's obviously when he drives it, he's covered. I would hope myself. You know.
So did John was there? Did he get a go doing that as well?
He didn't because it was only me that had won the competition. He would have to have paid.
Oh, so he hadn't got the equivalent package. That's a shame.
All right, F1 had said that the new spending cap rule was going to be imposed next season. What will it mean now for the new research and design for the teams? Yeah, because I heard that they're going to bring in the regulations that were going to be next year in 2022, and that's already been agreed. So,
cap is going to be for next year. This is what Ant's saying there. So the regulations that were going to come in with the spending cap, they're being postponed for a year because we've not had a proper year. This last car, so I suppose they want to get the money's worth out of what they've made.
Spending cap, it's going to be
the spending cap. Hopefully, it'll stop a few.
They're only allowed 100 billion per year disappearing instead of 200 billion.
What do you think will happen then if they've got less to spend next year, but they've still got this year's car?
They won't be able to develop
as much, but then again, they've got this year to develop it as well. So
it's going to be interesting because the less they meddle with the regulations, the closer it gets because, you know, teams have a chance to catch up. So it's really going to be down to the priorities of how they spend the money and who's got the best design, isn't it? Who's can make that better and make it even more competitive. So maybe some of the midfield teams might still have a good chance because if they can come up with a good idea or some innovations, then they might get, you know, that could give them an extra half second here and there, and they might be right up there. I think we'll get closer, but I mean, ultimately, for cost capping, I think there were a lot of areas where it's a bit of a grey area. stills in some things, I think. So I'm not.
I think the one, everything's a grey area. You can find the grey, you can use it.
Yeah, you don't have to spend, let's say, you know, £100 million or something. But then you've got an expense account that can be £60 million or something. So, you know, there'll be ways that they'll get around it, you know, and the Ferrari is £200 million.
We'll take that out of the food bill. Why do you need a food bill of £200 million?
Yeah, you know, exactly. So,
Ferrari.
Where's the receipt?
Italian food is very expensive.
You know, but so they'll be waiting. They've always got something, haven't they, to kind of come round and make it happen, to be able to get it through, you know. I'm so disappointed. Like, I think a lot of fans, you know, we've not been able to see the race, and obviously with the conditions the way they are, they were going to have to do this. We kind of maybe hoped, because it was a very, very late decision, literally the day before things were about to get started, that they cancelled it all. And you know, you kind of think if there hadn't been a case with McLaren, with those staff coming up positive for coronavirus, you kind of think, would they have just run it? Because that was the only thing that seemed to be in the way, you know, because it was kind of just before it all took off, you know, in terms of over across Europe, they were still doing things. I mean, look, the Six Nations rugby was on the week before and no one had bothered, you know. So in fact, it was on the same day, wasn't it? The Wales-Scotland game was going to be on the Sunday. So, you know, and that was only cancelled again the day before or whatever.
There was a lot of fuss about that, wasn't there? Because, you know, I was annoyed that they didn't tell the fans who were turning up at the circuit quicker. But as it was pointed out to me when I was watching something else the other day and listening to something as well, that there's a lot of stuff going on in the background. And, of course, Australia wanted the local people, not people, but the local government wanted it to carry on because they got a lot of money invested in it.
Yeah,
we're going to make a lot of money from it. So all these people that want to make a bit of money, they were putting pressure, and there was contractual obligations and this kind of thing. It turns out, I found out today that Honda and the Red Bull racing team had a disagreement about that because Honda wanted it stopped. They wanted the virus worldwide to be dealt with and then they'd get on with stuff. Whereas Red Bull and old, not Franz Tost, the other one, the horrible one, Dr. Helmut Marko, you know, the nasty old man, he wanted it. Well, he is, isn't he? He looks like, it's like, I mean, Victor Frankenstein walking around, isn't he? Frankenstein's monster. He's worse than Trump. Anyway, the point is they wanted it to carry on because, and it's understandable because they had a car. They've got a car that might win this year. And they want every opportunity to
go out there and make it happen.
On Mercedes and Ferrari and win, don't they? And Max, you know, he's like 10 and doesn't care, so he wanted to play, didn't he?
I want to win.
That's not a proper Dutch accent. I do apologise to the whole of the Netherlands that I'm just upset.
It's not bad that we start the show and you've already got to apologise for a number of...
I never would do this, I did not do a German accent because I don't want to be killed. Hated is one thing, but actually murdered in my sleep. I remember the Holland versus... I mean, in the days when I used to watch football, I remember the Holland versus Germany football matches.
Yeah, they could be quite.
It doesn't matter how long ago it was; they still didn't like him.
Yeah. Seemingly, now here's a bit of local news for local people who are listening.
Local news for local people.
They've cancelled the Jim Clark Rally at the end of May. Yeah, that's what my wife told me. So I have to double check. I know if Andrew Dixon was listening, I know he'd be able to tell for sure. But he'll be hopefully coming on next week.
You've got to get him a waste of time getting him a smartphone. He won't use it.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to wait and see. He's back. He's back today, so hopefully we'll get him on Thursday. And the chap who did my video, who was the instructor, James Fletcher, has promised me he'll do an interview as well. So I'll get him on hopefully soon. I have sent him an email, but he's not come back to me yet. So that'll be good. So we'll have a GT Championship driver giving an interview, so that should be quite good.
Save up your pennies to send in the bribe to tell us how good you were. Don't forget.
He generally, if you could have heard the sound, that's why I was so annoyed that the blooming sound didn't work, because he said, no, the car control, you were actually very good, you see.
And well, I could see. What was telling is they had all these other people on the track, and there was one bit where you were, I did hear you at one bit saying, can I get past them?
Oh, yes, they did let us get through towards the end.
Yeah. But you were catching them up very quickly. You know, you were doing okay. Don't get big-headed, but you were doing all right.
If we ever make any money, I'm sending you on that course, and I'll see if I can compare times.
Don't. Yeah, good luck, pal. These days, I'm more aerodynamic. Actually, when I was fat, I used to be more aerodynamic on a bike because the wind goes around the belly, whereas if everything's flat, it just hits it. So really, only fat people should do any form of racing because it's to go faster.
Well, what was really good, actually, I mean, I was saying about the Mercedes World, if you've got kids, you can take the kids on it as well. It is about £7 or £8 for 10 minutes. But they've got mini simulators, right? So they've got like a little baby seat. It's like a car.
You've got somewhere you can leave them.
They have the same setup with the wheel and the whole thing and the pedals, but they have it for a miniature. So they've got a tiny little seat, and it's perfectly set up. And the guy I was speaking to a few months ago, George Martin, who's one of these esports specialists, and he and his company set up the simulators at Mercedes-Benz World. But the mini simulators were really good. I thought if I'd take the kids, they would have had a great time on that. I think it was at least £7 or £8 for 10 minutes for maybe the small ones, and it was £10 for 10 minutes on the big ones, which is quite a lot, but it was pretty decent. It was a pretty good experience overall. And they also had the Formula One seats, which are just like an interior of a Formula One car. So the seat's quite different to what I've got. It's a playseat F1. So you sit with your feet actually almost above you, and then the screen is quite high up. But they looked phenomenal, actually. And they had it set up for F1 2019. So that was quite good. It was great. Now we've got Ant saying, I'd like to see that. All right. And then Andrew Marr said, I bet you would. You might know more about that, Andrew.
Well, I want to know, Ant, what would you like to see? Fat people racing or tiny, teeny little F1 cars? See, I've got a picture in my mind. You know when you go back to either you drop your own kids off or you go, for whatever reason, you end up back at your old primary and junior school, and you walk in to the classroom and it's like you're a giant because all the chairs are like this big and the tables are this big, and then you need to go to the loo and you go to the toilets and everything's miniature, like the sinks are near the floor, and you're like, how tiny was I once?
Yeah.
Well, that's not that F1. You imagine you go into this little Sims, the tiny little people, and you're like, this is for the Oompa Loompas.
Yeah, but it's great to get them involved, though. It's really good.
Got to be done, because, I mean, okay, Max Verstappen was 2 when he started, or whatever it was, 17. He didn't even have a proper license, did he? He had his super license, but he couldn't drive a car on the road, which is hilarious. So,
fat people and tiny F1 cars, why fit one when you can have both?
Oompa Loompas, yes.
But it's
the cockpit would have to be round, wouldn't it?
Well, the funny thing was, when I did a race day way back in 1993 at Donington Park, they had two types of car. They had the Formula Vauxhall, and then they had the Formula Vauxhall Lotus. And I was only 18 at the time. And because I was very thin in those days, the chap, the instructor...
Not that,
I was, yeah. No, hard to believe.
No, I believe you. I've seen your photographs on Facebook, so I know it's true.
Yeah, yes. I know they're pretty bad.
You're really good at Photoshop. I don't think you're that good at Photoshop.
No, I'm not very good at all. It's all Photoshop. But the guy looked at me and he says, you can go in the Vauxhall Lotus. And because I was thin enough to get in. And the fat people went into the Vauxhalls because they were easier. They were wider cockpits, easier to get in. And that was it. We went round the Donington Loop at the far side, which was great fun. That was the whole day. Cost £99.
The travesty. Considering that I lived 6 miles away.
Really? Yes. 6 miles away?
Grew up 6 miles away from Donington Park.
It was a great circuit and had a great museum.
I could, there was times when I used to go for a bike ride, I could actually hear it.
Yeah,
but I never went in. I've been in now. I've been in to the museum there with a friend of mine that lives just up the road the other way. When as a day out when my mum died, so just kind of something to cheer me up. And it's superb. I'd recommend the Donington Park Museum to anybody.
I think it's because changed to hands. One,
oh, has it? When I went, it was 2010.
Yeah, I think it's actually closed now, unfortunately, because it was the Jim. It wasn't the Jim Russell. It was the chap who owned it. He owned all the museum, and they had everything. They had all the like Williams Renaults. They had all amazing cars.
They had one of the biggest, if not the biggest, collection of Formula One cars, and a lot of them were still raced. You know, I'm stood in front of every car Hamilton's raced in at that up to that point.
Yeah,
I'm stood in front. Oh, stood in front of signed. Maserati 250Fs. One was Fangio's, and one was Stirling Moss's, and they're both red. That red, the proper red.
I'm stood, and
you're 2 foot in front of them. I could have touched them if I was cheeky enough. Didn't want to. It's like sacrilege, you know. And you just stood there going, oh, wow. Just wow.
I'll have to get that video because talking of Ferraris and Maseratis and things. There was a great video. I don't know if you sent it to me. It's only about 3 or 4 minutes long, but I'll find it and I'll get it for the next version. I'll put it in the description. And it's the Ferrari 412 F1 car from, I think, from like 1991.
Yeah, all the best sounds.
It's the V12 engine. It's only about this one. This is just the V412 car.
Oh, okay.
All right. It's on YouTube. The guy's got about 1.5 million subscribers, but I was going to say, but it's only a 3-minute video. But the sound out of that when he drives it out, it's one of these Ferrari days that they have all the F1 cars. I think it's at Belgium. But the sound from that was just incredible. You could listen to it all day long. And it showed you that the V12 was a kind of singing engine at much higher revs compared to the V10s of the competition. But it was a great, great, great car.
I love V12s. I really do. I've already told you that the video I sent you was longer and had more different cars.
Yeah, so I get a 95 car in that as well, I think, possibly. The Ferrari from 1995, which is a stunning looking car. It was a V12. It
definitely had the F2004.
And
that was stunning. I'm not reading that out. You read that.
With people panic buying toilet paper, when they run out, do you think they will have more skid marks than Brands Hatch? Well, I am sure there's a lot of skid marks on Brands Hatch, especially on that first curve. And that is a ropey corner. I've done that a few times on
Behave.
No, we're happy to have people commenting.
Back to V12s. Okay. So I didn't actually like the sound of it. It could have been on the video I sent, none of them were really flying. Like you say, there were these days where they turn up. And it was like they were going along and I'm thinking that's doing 30 mile an hour. Put your foot. I'm shouting at the telly like I do. And the V10, the V10 sounded
really good. Yeah,
But like you say, whatever recording equipment they were using for these, you could hear the cars a lot better than you can on our normal footage, I think is a big mistake on their part. They need to get something that lets
The sound's a bit better.
How do we know? It's like John said, on the telly they all sound rubbish, to be honest with you. But I was watching Harry Metcalf was driving an Aston Martin DBS, the newish ones, that's got a 7.3-litre V12 engine in it.
Glorious.
And you know, he's saying about you take your kids along and they drive these little F1 things. He's got his grandson. It's an open top one. It's the beautiful machine, absolutely gorgeous car. And he said, the engine in this, he says, I love V12s anyway. But I had my grandson in the back of this and we went up and down our drive a couple of times and he was giggling his head off. And then right at the end of the video, they just had the footage. Someone was recording this beautiful little kid in this car seat. Because this Aston Martin has eyes to fix car seat fixings in the back. What? It could do 200 mile an hour and you can put your kid in the back. They've got eyes to fix seat fittings, so they're safe. Anyways, and it just revs it. And this kid goes, oh, and so I was giggling his head off every time he revved it. And he went off, he went, oh, like that. Then it showed Harry Metcalf. And frankly, I don't know which one was more exciting because they were both giggling like kids anyway. But it is, that's just a special sound. It's not scary at all. It's like a singing, isn't it? Like you say, it's singing.
Yeah. No, it's really good. That's the best thing. Well, that's how I always try and end the editing shows on Podbean. I put the Formula One sounds in that I've got recorded, and I put them all in to make it sound quite good and things like that. And the good news is my website is almost ready. It should be the next week or two. HughAdrick.com is being completely redone. So there'll be lots of new stuff on that. And we'll put all our affiliate links and all our stuff from the Car and Sim and Race Driver Show onto that as well. So it's going to be good. We'll have all our videos linked in and specials as well on that. So I'm looking forward to getting that all signed off. But as we've been going for a little while, and we probably should look to finishing the show, what would you like to finish off with, Andrew?
Does not compute. I would like to finish off with I hope we get some real racing this year. Okay. In a weird, strange way, I'm quite glad it's mixed up like this, because we get another year of the same cars. It'll be interesting to see what goes on next year. And another year where they get to develop the new cars,
mm-hmm.
you know, a bit more.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Make it a bit more, you know, racy. Because the whole point of those cars is that they can follow better and overtake better naturally without any cheats like DRS and all that kind of stuff. A lot of the aerodynamics, I've been looking into this, and a lot of the aerodynamics are designed to keep the air calm as it comes off the back of the car, so that the car behind doesn't get as affected, as well as using the ground effects, which doesn't get as affected. So, yeah, pity Monaco's gone. I like Monaco, they're nuts there. And I think looking forward to Sunday with this.
Oh, yeah, with this E Grand Prix in Bahrain.
It's
Bahrain.
Free, and I don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, no, you can get it on YouTube and all these other things, which will be good. So that'll be fun. I wonder if Sky will cover it in that. I wonder if they'll be doing something with that. That could be quite interesting.
It's but
I
hope we get Twitch. Twitch pay, you have to pay some things, but not everything, I don't know.
Yeah, I hope we get Goodwood, though. I hope we get the Festival of Speed this year, because that's such a good event. So I hope that's normally just been July. I think it's the 7th of July. So that would be good if they do that. So it'll be interesting. So for all our listeners and viewers, remember, you can still comment on the show, whether it be on YouTube as it goes out, because this will go out as a live stream as well. When once it's finished, they put it onto YouTube. So remember to check out our channel, and also to subscribe to the channel on YouTube and on Podbean as well. And for all our Facebook listeners, sorry, it unfortunately doesn't let us see the comments that you might be making on Facebook. I know there were a few the last time, but it's fantastic to have you all with us. And we'll have more great news next week with, I think, Andrew Dixon is going to join us hopefully on Thursday next week. So that will be good, because we haven't heard from him for a little while. But thank you very much, Andrew Mars. Stay online, because I'll speak to you after the show. But to all our listeners and viewers, you've been watching the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show with me, Hugh Hattrick, and my very special unmasked guest now, Andrew Marr. Remember to drive fast and try not to crash. See you soon. Bye-bye.